Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, because she, after 17 long years, has finally been voted in, and in November she will enter into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She is a success story, and the beauty in her voice comes from the fact that she is an opera singer turned rocker, and her style was different than anything I had ever seen before or since. Again, I say that In Heat of the Night is my favorite album. I know every single word by heart, and I could just sat here and listen to her all night long. But there is some poetry going on tonight. But I have to say congratulations to Pat Benatar. She was one of the best things to come out of the 80s. Just saying. Welcome to A Team of Voices Radio. This is Deborah Lee, and I am part of A Team of Voices, and we hang out at allpoetry.com, a huge poetry site that you can join for free. If you join or already hang in there, you can find us on the Groups tab. Just click, and I'll meet you at the door. If you're in earshot, you can call in and participate at 1-646-668-2837. I'm just seeing the chat wall. You're making me blush. Again, that is 1-646-668-2837. And we'd love to hear from you. And I am here with my co-host, Jay Hatter.
Hey, yeah.
Welcome.
Pat Benatar.
I wish I could sing like her. She's like, oh. There's not many people that I would see on the street and like be awestruck. She is what I would. Anyway, I'm also here with another board member, Mr. A.P. Taylor from Oz. Hey, A.P., welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Hi.
And we have the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you two. Thanks for the love on the chat wall. And right behind them is Mr. Dave Prophet. Thank you, Kay. Hey, David. Glad you're here.
Hey. Thank you.
And
I'm glad to be here.
Leave is Miss Allie Sunshine. Hello, Allie. Welcome to the show. All righty. And everyone is here. So I guess I'm just going to dive in because we have quite a few poems. And we always start with Kay and Stephen unless AP, being in another country, is in a hurry. So I forgot to ask AP.
No, I'm going to be around for an hour, Deb. But I was wondering, can I put a brief poem in first?
Is that okay?
Well, I sort of figured because Stephen and Kay sort of let the cat out of the bag a little bit, and it's like 2 hours until your birthday. Yeah, 1 hour until your birthday. So I sort of figured it's time for a birthday poem. And this is Periwinkle. And it goes a little bit like this. Rain's quiet appear and a filmy curtain hung, as hazy soft drops of mist left among, by clouds rolling near gathering circle upon wings strung, while tingling I hear off towards the grounds. Falling soft pitter on leaves to earth suds, jostling to patter with future flower buds, reflection of austere earth stirs, antenna hustle by muds, their morning dears, lulls purple, day and new blushes. Light refracts a faint stream of showers. She tusks deft past trees and flowers, flutters among piers, gently steers over gold orb towers. Her display endears, so creating these soft bowers. The journey of rays to ground here below, bright spirit and fresh warmth trails slow. Joy of friend's ear, colours sheer as I see a tiny rainbow. Held Deb's souvenir, so patterned, periwinkle flows. Happy birthday, in poem.
Thank you, and kind of, man, now I'm going to be a crybaby. That's really beautiful. I don't have a favorite part. It's all the way through. It's just gorgeous, the wording, the sentiment, the pattern, the little rainbows and souvenirs, the periwinkle. I'm touched to tears, and Hatter, can you get some comments for the poem?
Sure. Stephen, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a beautifully written birthday poem and a beautiful tribute to our friend Deb. Very well done.
Thank you.
Is Kay there with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Kay, you got my permit?
Well, yeah, I like how you bring in the journey, periwinkle, because I know that is a favorite word of Deb's to bring into her writing. So I like how you bring in the journey of the butterfly, the colors, but also bring in the friendship and honor Deb on her day. It's wonderful, Ray.
Thanks.
Cool.
Thank you.
Dave, you want to comment?
Yeah, I really like this. I thought the descriptions were really well done. I like the way that you rhymed it, AP. I thought that was really outstanding. You incorporated the metaphors and the descriptions into the rhyme so well. And I didn't know it was Deb's birthday until just a few minutes ago. So that was great that you put that in there for her. And it was a beautiful poem. AP, really, really well done.
Thank you.
Is Allie here with us?
I am.
You want to comment?
Sure. I loved multiple lines of it, but the one that stood out to me the most was when you said flutters among peers, because that definitely flutters among all of us. Very inspiring, right?
Thank you, Allie.
Good comment. I'm
back. AP, that was really, really awesome, and I appreciate it very much. And David, I was trying to slip in under the radar. It's actually tomorrow, but they got me.
Oh. Oh. Well.
Anyway. But no, it was an unexpected treat and very touching and awesome and loving and caring and all those other amazing adjectives that I could come up with. Again, I was moved to tears. I had to catch my breath. Okay. In the meantime, Linda arrived. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the show. Really glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hey, Linda.
Okay, doll. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Hi, everybody.
Okay. Yes. I'm flabbergasted by emotion, but I'm going to run over here, and I'm going to grab Kay's poem, and I am going to have her take us away. And Kay, I noticed that you made a note on the board about the opening song. There were so many to choose from, but there was just something about that one today. So I'm glad you really liked it. And I can't find the chat wall because here we go. We go in this way. Deep breath. Stop being a little baby. And there's the voices. And here's the poem. There we go. Okay. Okay, when you see it, please take us away.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be deemed letting the cat out of the bag because I already knew that your birthday was coming up, so I already knew that for tonight I was going to do a birthday rite to begin with. So that's why I put it on an old rite, so that way nobody would be looking at it last week when I dropped it down. And what I did was I used a lot of your
titles
in some of my pieces. Yeah, I wanted to keep it secret. So a lot of the words are titles from your rites. We'll add in a little bit of my poetic license. So I call this In Purple Flights of Friendship. Whispers from the waves after the rain freckles and neon senses in flight. Not chased in darkness in search of home. A scent of familiarity and star wishes of sea salt brines through carnation hues. Hills ablaze and warmth of parental memory. Pomegranate to scarlet. Sea lilies, the four seasons of her. Periwinkle to platinum and the cobalt moon as a butterfly through teardrops and ashes. And the golden rods of a day pirouetting as kid gloves to sugar-coated rose petal wishes. Postcards. the sooty jet black mystiques on this day, polish the fluttered and glittery talon as the order of the day. End poem. Happy birthday.
Oh.
Thank you, and wow, that came out really cool, and I could actually see myself in the pieces that you put in the lines. That's really, really clever. I wondered what you would do with the art that you chose. I never expected it to turn into a birthday poem. Again, I say I was going to try to slip under the radar and just hide from everybody tomorrow. So, this is gorgeous. I love how you threaded it. And it's weird to try and pick out a favorite line because I see myself in most of them. I love how you put them together. Hills ablaze in warmth of parental memory and pomegranate to scarlet. Sea lilies, the four seasons of her, periwinkle to platinum and a cobalt moon. I mean, the descriptions that you piece together are incredible, and I really, really appreciate it very, very much. It's gorgeous, just like you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's a puzzle of words, and when you get it right, you put the right words at the right places. When Kay's got that down, her descriptive lines, although I thought it was ingenious to use her titles. When you first said that, I go, oh, this ought to be interesting because you, Deb uses such long titles. it was well done. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was oh so lovely. It was like you to a TK. It was soft and delicate, and just had a real nice, friendly feel to it. And I thank you for sharing. And happy birthday, Deb. My daughter's birthday is today as well.
Well, mine's tomorrow. They're sneaking me a little early, fill me up with all kinds of emotions. but thank you very much.
Nice poem.
Appreciate it. And David, what did you think?
Well, I really liked this. I thought it was light and airy, and it was warm and just reminded me of Kay so much, you know, way she thinks about her friends and stuff, you know, and I thought it was really, really fitting the way she wrote it and dedicated it to you. I thought it was, like Hatter said, I thought it was a real bit of genius to compose a poem out of all of the titles of your poems, and I have to agree with him. Some of their titles are really long, but anyway, I thought it was a beautiful poem, and I thought you did really, really an outstanding job of showing your love and friendship for Deborah. Okay, I thought that was really nice.
That's great.
Awesome comment. And AP, what did you think?
Well, you sort of look at this piece and you sort of see bits of your wording and writing all over it, Deb. I mean, the waves, chasing darkness, star wishes, carnation hues, pomegranate, sea lilies, periwinkle. I mean, there's the top 20 or 30 Deb words that you use, and I reckon 15 or 18 out of those are in this poem. And Kay's managed to do that because she's grabbed the titles and just really elegantly sort of woven or crocheted them together into a very neat poem. And it's got a beautiful sense to it. And I just like the whole piece.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Allie?
I thought this was an amazing poem. Okay, the title of it is stunning, and the line is the butterfly through the teardrops was also stunning, because I feel as though when one writes an emotional piece, it definitely makes Deb's love and support shine through like the sun does. Oh, it says in, like the sun does on butterfly's wings. Happy birthday, Deb.
Thank you, Allie. Awesome comment. And Stephen, before you read, will you comment for Kay, please?
Oh yeah, I thought that this one, once again, it's a beautiful birthday poem to our friend Deb Hun, and I thought that it's a terrific weaving of her titles and your words. Yeah, it's awesome. It's beautiful.
I second that emotion. Thank you very much. And your poem is on the board.
All right, Devin, my birthday present to you is you flew under my radar because I didn't know and I just wrote for the prompt. So.
No, I did tell you.
Okay.
You ignored. You ignored. You ignored. Bad.
All right. This is called The Hidden Lake Still Waits. Feel the tips of tall weeds tickling the left palm held parallel to the ground. Early morning July humidity creeps up pant legs and down shirt collar, causing heat pockets against the skin. Right hand grasping Zebco rod and reel and the handle of a small tackle box that houses useless rubber frogs and minnows. Somewhere in the distant sunrise, our fishing hole awaits, veiled from the roads by swaying maple trees. A place where striped bass bite like bluegill, catfish fight for chunks of hot dogs, and trout painted like rainbows leap for the clouds. But I lose my way when the sun climbs high and the fish fall back into the reeds to rest. So I turn back home. I need you to guide me, for I haven't found the hidden lake since the day before you died. Hand poem.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I wow.
Yeah.
Stephen, the ending alone is so, so heartfelt, so amazing.
Awesome.
I wondered which of the two fishing choices you would go with. But I love where I like how you took this, and it's just the little dude all by himself, and he's on his way. And there's that mist in the background that gives you a direction. But, man, early morning July humidity creeps up pant legs and down shirt collar, causing heat pockets against the skin. Great, great detail there. Somewhere in the distant sunrise, our fishing hole awaits, veiled by roads, by swaying maple trees. And then, the last three lines are very powerful, but the ending line has me wanting to fight back tears again. I mean, this is a very emotional piece, and I know that, you know, you're sharing a piece of yourself there, and I see that it's a pending pick, and I'm thrilled that it is. Congratulations on that. And a 10. Belting them bad boys out, and the song number 13 is from Prisoner of Love. Goes very well with the choice that you made, because you know you did an excellent job. I very, very much felt you and your emotion as you read. Fine tribute to your pen there.
Thanks, Deb.
Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I always think of back in the day when there still was hidden lakes and streams that were untouched by man. And I see the old movies, and I see those streams and rivers. First thing I think of was how kind of fish is in there right now. The old pools with the granddaddy in there, you know. You did what I thought this was great. Describing the kid, the Zebco reel.
And the sun goes high, the fish go in the reeds to rest. That's true. It's well done, man.
Thanks, Hatter.
Awesome comment, AP.
Well, you could go back and you could say that it has it's beautifully written and it's got wonderful description, and both of those would be true, but more to the point, it connects with people because it's emotional and it's real, and really that's what good poetry does. At the end of the day, it creates an emotion in people, creates a connection in people, and you've just taken that image and made it your own. It's a beautiful piece of work, Steve.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment. And David, what did you think?
Well, this one hit me just dead center because of all the fishing and stuff in it. And, you know, of course, my father, when he passed, he was only 65 when he died. And, you know, I remember him taking me fishing. He used to take me trout fishing on the Clackamas River all the time. And what I really liked, and then we used to get down to, I grew up on the Willamette River in West Lynn there, and it's a great big thing, and it's got a mud bottom in it, and it's got panfish and sturgeon and bass and bluegill, a crappie, you name it. And we used to go fishing. I always liked fishing for those panfish because they're not fussy about what you give them. I'll bite. Yeah, sure, you know. I thought that I really like this stanza. It says, we're a place where striped bass bite like bluegill, catfish bite for chunks of hot dogs, and trout painted like rainbows leap for the clouds. That was a really good stanza there for me. But I lose my way when the sun climbs high, the fish fall back into the reeds to rest, so I turn back for home. And in the ending, Jesus, that almost put tears in my eyes, too. I mean, it's a marvelous way you did that in just, you know, six words. Holy cow. Beautiful, beautiful poem, Stephen. I really like this one. I can see why it's a 10.
Thank you, Dave. And, yeah, my dad was 65 as well, so we got that in common, eh?
You know.
It's a beautiful poem. Thanks.
Allie, do you think you can comment, or do you want to wait till next one?
Can I skip?
Okay, absolutely. Linda, did I let you comment?
No, not yet. I thought the piece was stunning, Stephen. I, too, was raised on Smiley Creek right off the Salmon River, and we did a lot of fishing, and the sights and feels that you described here in your poem were much like the ones that I had growing up. The line, the trout painted like rainbows leap for the clouds, I just can so picture that in my mind. So you brought back memories for me, and I think as an artist that's one of the most important things we can do as an artist is to instill in our readers a memory or a feeling, you know, that goes to their heart. It's very important. But I thought your piece was, like, just stunning. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
I thought I already did.
Did you? I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to ignore you. Okay, then never mind. Stephen, how about you tell us what's happening at a Poetic Slice?
Sure. Our next show is Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is our monthly visit with the artist Agnes Cecil. Kay found some more beautiful paintings from that artist to write to. Check them out. See where they take your pen. That's 10 p.m. And then a special edition of the Poetic Inklings on Thursday at 9 p.m. as we had the National Poetry Month thing going on in our room, and a lot of the group members took part in writing one poem per day throughout the month of April, and everybody got to choose their favorite, and we're going to feature those poems on that show, 9 Eastern.
Awesome. Okay. Now, the next poem that's on the board is Allie's, in case she has to get to go to bed, and you guys, in case you have to go eat dinner or something after being on the radio all night, I appreciate you calling and for the amazing poems, and love and respect. And Allie, you're on the board.
My poem is titled The Tears They Cry. The tears they cry stream down my face. Quickly, slowly, no matter the speed, the tears are a sign of sadness. The tears lately have been happening every night. The tears come from deep in their hearts and minds, as years of trauma and grief led to emotions being unregulated. Are tears okay or are they not? Because I've been told both. That Dev has taught me tears are okay, but I still sometimes have issues accepting this. Confusing moments, lost in the world of addictions. Do this, do that, say this, say that. Why are you crying now? Couldn't they tell they were the reason for those tears? Can't Dad tell? He's the reason those tears happen whenever we talk. They told us not to cry, but now Dad doesn't seem to care. Apparently crying is okay now, but yet still, we cry where others cannot see, in our beds, with sound machines on, to drown out the tears that happen at night now. I cry because I miss her. I miss Sophia and Abby and now my mother. I want my mom to be back in my life alive, not sick anymore, but alive. Alive and happy, and never got to see her happy, to see her smile. And now any chance of that is gone.
Unmuted.
I'm unmuted. I'm just trying to collect my thoughts. Allie, I'm really sorry. And some of the pieces in here make me want to say to you that were there reasons for those tears? Couldn't they tell there were the reasons for the tears? Can't Dad tell? He's the reason those tears happen. Why are you crying now? you're crying now because no matter what, the love is there, and no matter the mistakes or the hurt, at the end of the day, he was your dad, and it is a disease that he was fighting, and you've been through so much, and I sometimes people don't cry because they think they shouldn't. And then they bottle it up, and it drives them crazy. And I'm glad that you just keep putting it on the page. Just let it out, like you did here, because you miss them. You miss him. You miss her. You miss good things. You do remember the traumatic things, but you remember the good ones too, and the child in your heart, I'm sure, always held on to those. So, like, there's a lot of, this is a powerful poem, Allie, and again, I'm sorry that you're missing them. Great share.
Thank you, Dad.
Hey.
Well, yeah,
I like how you speak about the dynamics of the tears, because I think that depending on who you ask, they will say certain things are okay, such as tears. You know, me and Stephen, we grew up in an old school family where, you know, some of our family members would say that, no, that's not acceptable. You're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that. But I will say that in certain ways I can understand this, because actually a long time ago, I used to be a very clingy and needy person. I always needed reassurance. I always needed a lot of things. But then after I lost my son, something in me broke and died. And actually what was created was somebody who learned how to become disconnected. And I'm no longer clingy, needy. If anything, some days I don't even want to be touched. And I know most people, they see me as cold, but it's really not. It's more so a state of disconnection to, I guess, take care of myself. So I get the words. I do. Grief is the price of love. Thank you for sharing this, Allie.
Thank you, Kay, and thank you for being vulnerable. I appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And Stephen?
Well, I'm going to have to piggyback off Kay's, because I was kind of commenting the same direction, actually. The focus on the tears is what really got me, because I told him my comment, you know, when you are taught one thing, it's always hard to learn new things. When you're taught that tears are bad or a sign of weakness, it makes one want to hide them rather than show them. But the thing is like Kay was saying, and what I've learned over the years is that tears are necessary, and you have to let them out when they want to come out. So, yeah. I thought this was a very profound rite, and I'm still very sorry for your loss, Allie.
Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome comment. And if not before, I will see the dynamic duo on Wednesday. And Linda, would you like to comment for Allie?
Yeah, but first I want to tell Allie I'm sorry. I haven't been around the last couple of nights. I've had shows till late, so I haven't been able to answer the phone while I'm on the air. But your poem was beautiful, my darling. You have such deep insight into your feelings, and you might not think so, but you do. And I'm glad to see you writing about it, because we've talked about how important it is to let your feelings out and not keep them bottled up inside, because that causes sickness and upset that your body doesn't need. So it's good that you're writing about this. Very well done. I think you're growing every week as a writer. You just have such a way that you let your feelings out on the page that shows the reader that you're real, and you know, you're not just a person behind the words, but you're real, and you have feelings, and they hurt sometimes, and that we need to take that into account. So I loved your poem, sweetheart, and thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Allie and then read your poem for us?
Yeah, Allie, I think as long as you remain happy, find a way to be happy, you can close your eyes, you can see her smile, and know she's happy too. Kind of said, you just all put it on paper. It's always sad and heart wrenching at times, but you write so well in describing it. It's a good job.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Welcome.
Awesome comment. And Allie, I'm assuming that you're going to hang up and go to bed, but I'm really glad you called.
I am. Well, I'm going to hang up and cry and then go to bed. But, yeah, I plan on going to bed.
All right.
You get a good night's sleep, and I'm really glad that you called. Again, we're all really sorry for your loss. Good night, sweetie.
Have a good birthday tomorrow. If I don't talk to your dad about it. I'm sure you'll be around all poetry tomorrow.
Thank you, Hallie. Okay, Hatter, take us away.
Okay, I went and grabbed one of those pictures. The Book of Things. There's a book I've read before I found in an ancient room. The most interesting words. Take a look there. Take a look. There are shadows on the moon. Tales of spells so well it comes back to haunt the land. Fairies will light at the darkest night, so I could understand. This book you see is in poetry. The words and paint our brains. Ancient ways from back in the day kept in the purple rain. I know.
Sorry.
Beautiful.
There is a book I read before I found in an ancient room. It had the most interesting words. Take a look, there are shadows on the moon. There's that signature Hatter style. The book you see is in poetry with the words that paint our brains, ancient ways from back in the day. It's kept in the purple rain. I'm feeling all greedy because now I want to read the middle one too. But it's always such spot on rhyme. And I like that the book that all the little mice are with there is the Book of Things. I thought that was clever. You did a great job with this one, Hatter. Probably
it might be longer.
Well, you could add to it if you wanted to, but I do think that it's an excellent brevity.
Thanks.
Just saying. David, what do you think?
Oh, this was typical Hatter if I've ever read it. I thought it was really great. The title, I agree with you, Deb. The title is spot on, The Book of Things. That's really cool. It's a great title. It's a great adventure in brevity. Holy cow, you know, there's three stanzas here, 12 lines, and, you spin a story in that amount of words, and it makes me envious because I wish I could do as well. But I really like this, Hatter. I thought your rhyme was perfect, and, your syllable counts and stuff are always right on the money, and I could read this poem out loud, and it would be easy. I've never had a stumble tongue, I guess you could say, reading any of your poetry out loud, and I've read some of it out loud before, and that tells me that you're a great writer. We all know that, but it speaks of a great writer, and it also shows you that you concentrate on what you're doing and you focus it well. And so I thought this was a really, really neat poem. I liked it a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Great. And yeah, I agree with you, Dave, because it's really easy to read for Hatter when he needs a reader, because within the first two lines, you picked up his pattern and then the rest just flows. Linda, you want to comment for Hatter?
Yeah, that was so pretty, Hatter. It just kind of was tranquil and sweet. The words were very kind. And I love you that take a look, there are shadows on the moon. That's just such a pretty line, and your verses are well put together and formed, and your rhyming is spot on, making me jealous. Very well done, Hatter. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And sorry, AP, I didn't realize that your call had dropped, so I don't know how long you were waiting, but welcome
for
back.
2 minutes, so just somehow, but I'm back.
Oh, good. Okay, and will you comment for Hatter and then read us your poem from the board?
Yeah. I think you don't need to do any more to this header. It just sits on its own quite nicely and comfortably on a page. And I think the reason for that is because somewhere, somehow, things have sort of clicked back for you and the words are coming. And when the words are coming, they just find their natural place. And so just trust the muse, keep on writing, and just enjoy it.
Thanks, AP.
Great comment, and yours is on the board.
Deb, well,
I'll be right back. I got to leave for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
See you soon, Heather.
Okay.
When in doubt, Deb, try a bit of monorhyme. This is Shabley. It goes a little bit like this. Battlefield designated if sides oversee the frame of trenches or mountains can see. Secrets way in battles, no guarantee, but those that stalk can rest in a tree. Camouflage to branches, lounging she, saves energy if simply jumping agree. Stalk in high summer, then prey will flee. Knows saving resources is the key. Blazing in branches, lounging a marquee, chore slack and muscles resting foresee. Until prey observe, heading below lee. A tiny antelope, akin to crackers with brie. Hunched and tightens a kill, there may be, pauses with talons, unfurls seeking Shabley, as she launches onto her target debris, with one slice of the paw, delivering tea. End poem.
Wow, you know, this is really cool, like the wording to match the predator that she is there in that photo. I like secrets way in battles, no guarantee, but those that stalk can rest in a tree. I thought that was quite brilliant, the wording there. Camouflage to branches, lounging, she saves energy if simply jumping agree. And where did the, here we go. Jaw slack and muscles resting foresee until prey observed heading below lee, tiny antelope akin to crackers with brie. For some reason, that just made me giggle. Like, you know, just the antelope is just a appetizer. So, like, it was really cool that the wording, the mono rhyme, the repeat of not the line but the sound all the way through is really cool. Chablis, debris. I don't know if I would have thought about that one, but I'm really tickled by the thought of the antelope akin to crackers with brie. For some reason, that tickled me today. And she launched onto her target debris with one slice of the paw, delivering tea. But one slice of the paw, that's all it took. But another great rhyme. And it's harder, in my opinion, do the mono rhyme and not make it sound cheesy. But you did it brilliantly here, and that takes skill. So, an awesome share, and I really
Thanks,
like
Deb.
Where you took gorgeous cat. You're welcome, Linda. What did you think?
Well, I can't believe he found so many words to rhyme with C. You did a wonderful job. And, yeah, I like the line, tiny antelope akin to crackers with brie, that brought in the humor aspect of this piece as with the last line, with one slice of the paw delivering tea. Very nicely done. I think you gave the cat a personality, very much so. And you wrote to the picture prompt perfectly. Very nicely done. Thank you for sharing it, AP.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And David?
Well, this was really interesting. I thought your descriptions of the leopard here was really, really well done. The cats are a lot more powerful than we imagine. I read an article one time where they saw a tiger which they're the biggest of the cats, knocked down this 750-pound wildebeest and grabbed it in its mouth and climbed up a tree with it. And ate, of course, it was eating it in a tree. And I thought, holy cow. You know, I just thought this was really well done. And I like the way you described the cat. I like some of the stuff that you put into it. Like they conserve energy by lounging around in trees and stuff, you know, and sleeping and stuff. And that's typical of all cats, I think. But this was fun. I liked it. It's good.
Thanks.
And Hatter has not dialed back yet. So, AP, I know that we're just about at that hour mark, and it's probably time for some lunch for you. But
thank you.
I'm very glad you called, and I'm still very touched by the poem you opened the show with, and it meant a lot. Appreciate it.
Pleasure to have a happy birthday in a couple of hours or an hour and a bit, and we'll talk very soon.
Love and respect.
Okay. Thanks. Talk soon. Cheers.
Okay. Now, let's see where we're going to go. I think what I'm going to do is grab David, and then we'll do part two from Linda, and then I'll read for Angel. So that sounds like a plan. So let me go grab... Where did my group go? Okay, there it is. And I'm sorry, I'm feeling overly emotional and scatterbrained. Who did I say I was grabbing first, Linda or David?
David. I think.
I thought so. Okay, just making sure. All right, now I am grabbing it. And you said I'm bold, David?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, bold italics. You'll see it.
Okay. I'll just follow along till I see it get bold and take us away, Mr. David.
Okay, this one's called Maleficent Magnificence. And it sounds like this. Behold, I say unto you, no one ever expected anything like this from you, for she is the dust of the night, shadows of battlefield children, dissonant song wounds, rearrange themselves into the key of harmony, backlit by a curious moon, pitch blend and quicksilver bleeds into the night skies. She comes, this dark specter, magnificence in her maleficence, dark, bewitching, dust of all men's desires, Morrigan, her familiars. No one expects this from you. I know her face. This queen of the shadows, she spoke to me saying.
David, so listen. Will you be my night prisoner for just a fortnight? Such sights to show you. The Morgans tell me you are quite receptive to my dark thaumaturgies. I am your long friend, after all. This is my continent in moonlight. Do you like what you see? A brand new me? I think you do. Tell me true.
Well, I never thought of you like this. When I think of thee, I like what I see. Her lilting laughter echoing into the valley's night-kissed platinum rills, so sensual, so female. Enchanting music of the enchantress floats before me in her face of the night. Morrigan on her right arm, sending its thoughts to me. You know this woman well, David William. Its dark eyes pierce the gathering gloom as it folds around me. This dark embrace takes my breath away. Her ebony twisted horns, the very essence of the night, a crown for this queen. Night winds kiss her diaphanous gown of dark photons, shows their love for their queen. Her smile, phantom beguiles. Dark butterfly by day, maleficent magnificence by night. Happy birthday, my lovely friend. And phone.
Oh.
Wow, this is really cool. And I actually had to fight not giggling when it started out, David. So listen, because I mean, I didn't realize how much I say it until one time you like sort of said it back, and I was like, huh. And I took a thumb through some of our messages, and I do quite often start out with, so listen, blah 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 blah. So I thought it was really cool that you found a way to work that into the poem. I like the nod to how long we've been friends on this site, because my 7th anniversary was in February, so we're going on 8 years of knowing each other, because
yeah.
You were one of the first people that I knew around here. Enchanting music of the enchantress floats before me in her face of the night. Damn. The gathering gloom as it folds around me, this dark embrace takes my breath away. So many really awesome parts of it. But and then dark butterfly by day and maleficent, magnificent, that's a tongue twister, by night. Happy birthday. Thank you. I mean, it's, of course I like to put the nod to the dark butterfly there, but I my favorite part is that you started it with David. So listen.
I know.
I mean,
I had to.
It's like you made sure that I would recognize myself here, and I did. And now I understand
well,
why
you
said only I could read it, too, because when you first said it, I'm thinking, he reads with Sweet a lot. Why is it, you know, I'm wondering why it has to be with me reading, and I don't read any of the poems ahead of time, so I couldn't wait to see what you did. And this is really, really awesome. Thank you. So much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, and Hatter's not back. Linda, will you comment for David?
Yes, I will. This was very cute, David. I really like the way you wrote this, and Deb's part was so cute. And yeah, David. So listen, that's just like so cool. You really put your imagination into this piece, and it showed. I think it came off really well, and I liked it very much. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, when I started writing this poem, I didn't know what to do with it right at first. And the more I looked at it, the more it kind of reminded me of Deb a little bit, you know. And if you were to take her and put her in a gown like that, you know, she would actually, of course, look a lot prettier than the woman in the picture here, but she would look, she could pass for this gal with her long black hair and everything, you know, and you know, and I thought, well, hell, why not? You know, I'll just stick some of this stuff in here. And so, you know, a lot of times when I get messages from Deb, she'll go, David, now listen, or David, so listen, you know, and it just stuck in my head, so I thought I'd have some fun with it, and then I put the dialogue in there for Deb to read, so yeah, it was fun. It was really a fun poem to write.
Right on. Yeah, it came out really cute.
Thank you.
You people sneaking me with these, I tell you. Try to hide, and it was like you had a premonition or something that I was going to hide out. I don't know. All right. Now, I have been waiting a whole week to hear part two of Willow's story. So let me – and Linda, I don't know if you noticed, but on the master list, it was the first thing I added there so that I would make sure that I did not forget it. And
oh, I
as soon as
it.
You see it – huh?
I didn't
say you
see
did
it
or didn't.
I didn't see the master list, so I re-entered it.
Oh, okay. No, it was. It's well, anyway. That does not matter. Show me what you got.
Okay, this is Willow Part Two by Liquid Damage. Joseph was very wise and helped mend Willow's heart, and Willow knew they'd be best friends right from the very start. But then one day Willow seemed to be a little blue, so Joseph asked, "Dear Willow, what is wrong with you?" "I'm feeling blue because I feel like I don't have a place, and will I ever once again put a smile on a face?" So Joseph said to Willow, "Some lessons can't be taught, It's only through our living that we get what we have got. We all go through some changes, and changes can be rough, but God won't give us more to handle, just that which is enough. Search your heart. I think you'll find the wisdom that's inside, and if you listen carefully, you'll be very satisfied. All that I can tell you is you have a lovely mind, your soul is pure, your heart is warm, and you are very kind. Please take my advice on this, for it is very true. You're wonderful, dear Willow. That's the reason I love you. I love you too, said Willow. You are my dearest friend, and I'll keep on loving you right to the very end. Each day they had a little talk, and Joseph always knew just what to say to Willow when he was feeling blue. They also played and played a lot, and Willow did clown stuff. They'd laugh so hard till Joseph said, Willow, that's enough. At night they'd sit and snuggle under the bright moonlight, and Joseph would tell Willow that things would be all right. That's how it went for some time. They grew closer every day. They were the very best of friends in each and every way. Joseph was a godsend. He helped Willow see that he was worthwhile and how his life could be. Then one day when Willow woke, he took a look around. He looked and looked and looked some more, but Joseph couldn't be found. His stomach turned into knots and his heart began to race. He called out to Joseph but couldn't find him any place. Then he heard a muffled voice coming from a tree, and on one branch a cocoon. Joseph, it had to be. Listen, my dear Willow, I need to take a rest. Don't be sad. I need you to be at your very best. Remember all the changes you recently went through? Well, dear Willow, it's my turn to go through changes too. So remember all I've told you. Keep it in your heart. Then someday soon you'll begin to make a brand new start. Willow stood there silently as Joseph went to sleep. He promised Joseph while he slept a vigil he would keep. Willow stayed and watched as Joseph got his rest. He did what Joseph said to do. He did his very best. All the while, Willow thought about what was to be. He thought about how Joseph helped to set him free. He couldn't wait for Joseph to awaken from his rest, because with Joseph by his side, he felt like he was blessed. Now, after 14 days went by, Willow went to see and noticed that Joseph had begun to be set free. Oh, boy, said Willow with a smile, Joseph, you woke up. I can't wait to play with you, my little buttercup. Slowly, Joseph wiggled and pulled with all his might, but he was kind of shaky, and the cocoon was very tight. Soon, Joseph had managed to get himself undone. His wings uncurled and shimmered in the morning sun. Willow was bewildered by the brilliant sight he saw and stood there staring at the sight, very open-jawed. Joseph, you're a marvel and wonderful to see. Your beauty is transcending and inspiring to me. Willow, you must listen to what I have to say. I'm going to have to go away this sunny summer day. But why? Asked Willow as he tried to hold back his tears. Because, said Joseph, I have to go to pollinate, my dear. I want you to believe in you. I've tried with all my heart. Today's the day you'll begin to make a brand new start. Don't forget I love you, and I will until the end. You've made my life worthwhile, my darling little friend. Then Joseph spread his wings and said, Willow, see, we've made some memories, and for you they are for free. Then Joseph flew away from this lovely earth. The last words that he spoke were, Willow, you truly are of worth. Then a tear rolled down his cheek as Joseph flew away. Maybe, he said, we will meet again some other day. From that day on, Willow knew deep inside his heart that he was now ready to make a brand new start. Sometimes we need somebody to be there and to say that we are so worthwhile and things will be okay. And so it was for Willow. Joseph helped him see all the things he needed so that he could be set free. Epilogue. So Willow found a circus, and he brought back all the glee to the people in the crowd. How happy he must be. End poem.
Brilliant. before I comment, let's say hi to Sky, Sky, Sky. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Very glad you're here, hon. Okay, Linda, you know, for starters, I'm always going on about your storytelling abilities, but look at the rhyme and flow, too. I mean, you dig so deep, and you come up with all these enchanted couplets that invested me all the way through in Willow and happened. And I waited because of the fact that he's kind of sad in the photo, so I couldn't wait to see where you took him. And I really, really love the fact that he is the one who went and found the circus and brought the happiness back. But all the details and conversations and stuff in the meantime is just so brilliant. And it makes me, on a side note, wonder, like, I don't know. I think that recording stuff on YouTube is free, but what do I know? But I really think that stuff like this two-part saga that you created from this clown photo should be something that you record so that people can listen to it. Because between awesome you read it and your amazing storytelling details and stuff, there is always such a treat. And I mean, I've lost count of how many times Sweet has said to you, oh wow, that's amazing, I would read that to my grandchild. I really think that you should consider a book. I mean,
right,
you can publish
have,
for free. I hope you know, anyway.
I have in mind a book with all my short stories to go together. I have several short stories, Boogers. And
that would be really incredible. And if you self-publish, it doesn't cost anything. And just a thought. But, yeah, it is a brilliant story poem. And I appreciate you splitting it into the shows. And I appreciate your disclaimer last week that, you know, you just got taken away by the character. brilliant. Well,
I mean,
worth
the wait. How precious that picture is.
I know. And him and that butterfly, there was just something. Sometimes the pictures blow me away. That show was one of my favorites in a while. But yeah, I would say you did the photo justice, but that wouldn't be doing you justice. You blew the photo out of the ballpark.
Wow.
Excellent.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you
very David.
Much.
Oh, my pleasure. David?
Okay. I wasn't sure if you said that or not. Oh, this was beautiful. It almost put me in tears. Listen to you read it. The storyline and everything in it is just marvelous. And, you know, I agree with what Deb said about you blowing this picture completely out of the ballpark and then some, put it in orbit. Really a wonderful poem and the rhyming is so well done. Jeez. I need to take lessons from you on that. a funny little side note here I'm going to throw in just for kicks. I was out working in my shop one day last summer, and this little red butterfly came in. I don't know. I guess he's a butterfly or a moth. I don't know. He was flitting around the shop, and he was sitting up on my welder, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, he's down on the floor, and I looked, and he died. It just really bothered me. And so I picked him up and I brought him in my house, and he's sitting up there on a ledge in my office there. He's been there for a year or two now. I'm silly.
I'm not the only one that picks up dead butterflies.
Well, I don't know. I just felt bad because he was such a pretty little guy.
Right.
And he was splitting around and having a good time, and the next minute he's dead. And I didn't like that. And so I just brought him in my office.
Right on.
Like I say, I'm sentimental as hell. So.
That's sweet.
Awesome comment.
Beautiful poem.
And, Skye, I put your poem on the board, and I was hoping that you would comment for Linda before you read.
Yes, thank you. And hi, Sandy, on the board. How are you? I hope you're doing good. And, you know, Linda, she does this to people all the time. She gives them pictures. I remember one time she gave me a picture, and it was like 1,000 words later. So we'll blame it on Deb.
Yeah.
But I thought this was so sweet and wonderful. You know, I didn't get to, I want to go find the part one now, because this one was so wonderful. And to be honest with you, it is very, even in itself, it stands by itself. So I have no doubt part one was brilliant. But this itself stands as a story and is strong and is wonderful. And I'm a big fan of children's rights with purpose. And I think, you know, good rights entertain, but they also teach and help, you know, children kind of filter emotions and situations. And I think that this is one of those, especially with this friendship. And then I really like how it teaches independence. I mean, it is wonderful to have friendships and foundations, but sometimes you do have to go out and you have to be by yourself and you have to, you know, have all those lessons that you learned, put them into place and find and know that you are enough. And I think that there's a section in there that mentioned that you are enough. I'm not sure where it is right now, but it was the gist of it. And I really liked that. I thought there were some really good quality messages, and it was beautifully told, and it was very, very rhythmic and really well done.
Well, thank you, Skye.
Awesome comments, Skye.
Thank
and
you
I,
very
and
much.
I, you're in for a treat. I just put the link for part one in your inbox for you.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Kind of MIA on here lately. Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely have to mark that. All right, so this is A Prose Conversation with Pipettes and Snacks by Skye Dartful. You stood aloof, peered near, among the tree pipettes that ash and snag, a gasolier and black-rimmed beast, flavescence in its phosphorescent rag. I watched him as he farrowed 7 newly fatling sows, as the cockerel in its salience, tired of tacking, crowed to win, and took its day-spring bow. He was a graying man, perhaps roguish in his youth, siphoned from the gainless well, as green leaf fell from root. There hung crinkled surface waves, fastened to his chin, a stony grave where once there lived his grin. And as I sat, alighted on deathly bough, I saw how both were caught beneath the patented hour that followed wagon wheels and plow. And
wow.
First, I hoped somebody would take this art. There was just something about that crow, you know, because you always see the black ones. And they're a gorgeousness. And I love that you put, he stood aloof as I peered near among the tree pipits and ashen snag. There's something about that, pipits and ashen snag. I love it. It's got an old-fashioned feel to the wording. As the cockerel and its salience tried tracking crows to wind, and took his day spring bow, bows siphoned from his gainless wheels. I can't even talk. Wells as green leaf fell from roots. Your details in each couplet add a piece to that. And then some of the one-liners, once lived his grin. Just that line by itself is really sad, where once lived his grin. As I sat, alighted on deathly bough, I saw how both were caught beneath the patented hours. And then your closing that followed wagon wheels and plow. It's just you brought him to life, and I could almost picture him in those trees watching as they went by, and then I imagine that they leave scraps and stuff that it's easier to swoop in and grab some. And but I like how you started him off. I'll say it again at the beginning. He stood aloof as I peered near among the tree pippets and ash. If this would have been in the contest and you were asked to just caption it, I think that the opening couplet would have been perfect. Well, it is perfect, but it stands alone. That's what I meant. That it tells a story for him standing there aloof just in that couplet. So many great details. Love
Thank
it.
You, Deb. I really
Thank
love
so
the white silk too, and I, you know, a part of me really wanted to focus on the crow, but he looked so interestingly staring off, and I was like, well, what is he looking at? Well, he's looking at the farmer, and perhaps he'll learn.
Yeah, no, I'm glad
him.
You told that. I mean, I think you told his story.
Did she drop? Did I drop? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, she might. I think
Sorry
Deb
about
might
that.
Have dropped.
My other phone just died. I had to dial back in. I don't know what the last thing I said was, but that I love that you took that direction. Like the first couplet gets us to know, you know, his story, but then how you took us to what he was looking at, I thought was an excellent approach. So I hope you heard some of my comment because I, you know.
No, I can't think.
But in the, okay, cool. Before I get another comment, let's say hi to my little sis, Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Hey,
Glad you're here.
Hi.
And I am about to get some comments for Sky. Linda, will you comment for Sky, please?
Yeah, I thought that was very poignant. Very good storytelling. And I love the language in your couplets. Very, very cool. You did bring the farmer to life and gave him a personality, and I like that. And I like the sense that it's from the crow's point of view. That's very cool as well. I think it was a beautifully done poem, and I thank you very much for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And David, will you comment for Sky, please?
Yeah, I really like this. I have a lot of ravens and crows around my house, and I thought you did a really good job of describing how they are. Mannerisms and stuff are like this. They're super intelligent birds. You know, I can go outside. I feed them all the time, and they'll be sitting up on top of the telephone poles and stuff, and they'll start cawing and stuff when they go out, and they're bobbing their tails up and down and stuff. And this really appealed to me. This song, you know, and that one line there says, "And took its day spring bows." That's kind of what the way crows look sometimes, and ravens, when they'll be sitting on a limb and they'll bob their heads up and down. It's almost like they're bowing or something, you know. Their hung crinkled surface waves fastened to his chin, a stony grave, where once there lived his grin as I sat alighted on deathly bough. This has some real reverence to it, and I like the I don't know, I like the diction in it and the way it proceeds. It's very stately and it's very fitting for crows and ravens. So I thought this was a wonderful story. Nicely done, Sky.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Crystal, I don't know if you heard or looked it over. Can you comment for Scott?
Yeah, I actually did hear it. I think she just started when I called. But yeah, I love the day spring boat. I don't know what it is, why I liked how that sounded. But I really liked the thought of that. But I also just kind of liked your imagery through this. It was almost like, because you often think of maybe like other types of birds that give some sort of knowledge, not really a crow. But I don't know why this seemed kind of like knowledgeable, I guess, I wish I would say. Like it had that kind of feeling to it. But yeah, I just love the imagery through this. And it's like you gave life to the crow almost. So great job, Sky.
Thank you, Crystal. It was a perspective of the crow looking onward to the old farmer who was aging and perhaps a bit sad, because I used the quote that you had put up there. You can't hide on the inside all the pain you ever felt from that song. And I thought perhaps this aged old farmer was looking pretty grim these days. And that's where the crow was kind of taking the farmer and his perspective of the farmer and the dying branch that he was sitting on. And obviously the wagon wheels and plow was a metaphor for life, kind of treading on you, or on the farmer rather, I think. So I really like the picture. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before, I don't know how long you can stay, so before you have to go, and before we move to the next poem, I want to see if you want to push whatever kind of shows you have coming up.
Oh, yes, thank you. I do have to go. I have school in the morning, and I'm still in a bit of recovery, and I'm quite tired. So thank you. I have this Saturday over at A Poetic Slice at 8 p.m., it's my special storyboards edition, May, and I'm on my Star Wars journey. So the special storyboards will be Disney Star Wars mixed up. So on the special editions, everybody gets their own picture. I'll give it to you. You have to message me privately. And we're going to have fun that night. I have lots of parodies. It's going to be good. And that's 8 p.m. Saturday. And then I'm on here on A Team of Voices for a makeup show next Tuesday, and that's also on at 8 p.m. And, of course, we're going down the tube, and we're going to be talking about the peacock mantis shrimp, the Dumbo octopus, and the Yeti crab. Now, of course, there's educational videos, but as always, you can write fiction. You don't have to write facts. I just like you to learn the facts, so because I think they're fun and I like to talk about them. So you could write fact or fiction or mix them both, because, I mean, if you talk about Dumbo octopuses, but it inspires you to write, you know, a children's poem or some kind of weird mix with Dumbo, yourself out. And that's at 8 p.m. I said that already. I'm sorry, Deb. I'm crashing really hard. I was like, oh, I got to call Deb. So I woke back up.
I'm glad you woke back up. Now go back to sleep, and I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. Nice
thank
to hear
you
calling.
Thank you. Have a good night, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday tomorrow if I don't speak to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, here. I am going to read for Heavenly Angel, and then we will do the poem by Crystal. But before that, Linda, when I logged in on Saturday, there was a message from Raz, but it was long after your show was over. But remind me again, is it the third Saturday of every month?
Third Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the next show will be open poetry, so anything goes. And then I have a show for you guys on the 10th of June at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I'll do open poetry for that as well.
Awesome. looking forward to that.
Yeah,
and
me too.
If you think about it, only because like I'm usually really swamped trying to keep up with everybody else's shows. If you would send me a quick message on the Friday night before your Saturdays, I will try to reciprocate the participation. And in the meantime, if you just would click on Angel's poem, I will read for her. And her poem is called, do you see it?
No, I don't see it yet. Wait a minute. Let me refresh.
Yeah, let me just put it back real quick since I'm clicked on it, and we'll be good to go. Here it comes right now. So go
there
ahead and click on that. Cool. Okay. And her poem is called Justification by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. There was a time when I walked in dark shadows, dirty, I felt, impaled onto man's laws like a prisoner, behaved in a manner where I struggled to keep up with divine stride like a battlefield between light and darkness. Mistake some may call it, however, he spoke of experience. Each event was how I learned from lessons in the classroom. Don't give up the fight, my child. Be the invincible winner that you were born to be. Reminded that because of his wounds, I could sing a new song of thankfulness and of joy. He overlooked my shortcomings, tossed them in a fire of forgetfulness. I can only say if it's getting harder to face every day, don't let it show. One's life provided justification for all time. There is hope and promise. Don't stand in a line of hopeless, despairing clones. Leave the garbage behind. Put up your dukes and stand mighty and strong. There is justification made for you. Unbreakable elements adversaries can't shake. Blessed be. And poem. You know, I think that it was really cool that I noticed some of the words that hadn't, like the clone is from My Clone Sleeps Alone. So she put, so in the order that she put them in, like life is a battlefield between light and darkness, was a little bit of a play on it, but yet she still mentions the battlefield, so that song came to mind. And Don't Give Up the Fight. I thought that was great, especially since we used Don't Let It Show on the intro tonight. So she went down, second to the last stanza. I can only say it's getting harder to face every day, but don't let it show. I love that that was worked into the poem as well. I thought that it was a very powerfully spiritual piece and an honor to read. And I want to get her some comments. David, what do you think?
Well, thank you. I was fortunate at the bit to comment on this one. This is a very timely poem. All of the shit that's going on in the world today, this really speaks to that. You know, gas prices going sky high. You know, stuff not showing up on the shelves, shortages, you know. I don't know. It seems like every time you turn around, you know, if you look in a restaurant, there's a fight going on, or they're fighting on airplanes, or they're fighting at baseball games. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's matter with people now. But this particular poem here tells you to just leave all that garbage behind and be nice, you know. It's so much easier to be nice than it is to be the other way, and Angel really addresses that well here, and I liked the direction she took this. It makes you feel better just to read it. So, nice job on this one, Angel. Really, really needed to say this. So well done.
Beautiful comment. And Linda?
Yeah, I thought this was wonderfully poignant. And it had like a sweet aroma to it. I like that it was referencing Jesus. To me, Jesus on the cross, where she says, reminded that because of his wounds, I could sing a new song of thankfulness because he died on the cross so that we could do what we wanted. And that's what I got from this poem, is God redeeming her to be what she could be and do the things that she wanted to do. So I really like this poem. It just brought light, out of it. It was very nice. I'm glad that she brought it. Thanks for sharing. And Deb, you did a really nice job reading it, by the way. So thank you for sharing it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Appreciate that very much. And Crystal, will you comment for Angel and then read your poem for us?
First, I've got to ask her if she stole hope from me, because this is just full of it. No, sitting on that. But yeah, I do love towards the end that I could only say that it's getting harder to face every day. Don't let it show. One's life provided justification for all time. There is hope and promise. But I love that in there, that if it's getting harder each day, don't let it show. Because that is kind of the thing that you've got to do every single part of your life, is you're going to get hit in the face like with a giant skillet every day, which you just got to hold your head up high and keep walking on, because life's going to be like that. But I like that she put that in here, but I like that she also was like saying that she's got God and she's got people by her side and things like that to keep on going. And but yeah, this is a beautiful and powerful piece of hope, and I loved reading it.
Awesome comment. And yours is on the board.
All right, this is called Crumbling Chambers. Tangled trunks twist like broken embers of silver ashes, an envelope of leaves brushing her stained glasses. Mumbling like mud puddles of sandy dirt and grains, burying the buckets with shovels of hurt and pain. Shadows reflecting on mirrors of chipped bark, casting crowns of jewels flickering in the dark. Trapped in liquid of thorns, rose blood crimson red, blanketing legs with past rattling in her head. Sophie head. Empty vessels crash like ceramic glass, base glass, burning a candle wick to branches of gas. Pulling braids, brunette, ripping from the roots, erasing the papers, draining the intensity of fruits. Brown eyes, trickle drops, stenciling the ridges, echoing footsteps of rope, sawing broken bridges. Bushes shelter the scars, stripped across her body, sleeping in chambers, rotting, fading, and crumbling. And poem.
Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's incredible. And I mean, I don't know how well you can see the photo, because it's an incredible photo, and I'm glad you chose it. Tangled trunk twist like broken embers of silver ashes, an envelope of leaves brushing her stained lashes. So many parts. Trapped in liquid of thorns, rose bleed crimson red, blanketing legs with past rattling in her head. The thought of being that tormented, by the memories of things from the past that are in your mind driving you crazy and causing you so much agony is so sad. Pulling braids of brunette, ripping from roots, erasing the paper, draining the acidity of fruit. The metaphors, stenciling the ridges. I mean, I don't want to keep stealing all the lines because I got to leave something for the others, but some of the details in these couplets are off the charts, Crystal. And your title, Crumbling Chambers, is a powerful image all of its own. I really, really love that you chose this art, and I love the direction that you took it in. Even with the sadness and the loss and death in some of the things like the fading colors and the crumbling pieces, it's a brilliant way. But if we get much closer, I could lose control. Love is a battlefield. I great quote choice for the art, great poem, excellent couplets. Bravo.
Thank you, Deb.
David?
Oh, this was really beautiful. You did a really, really fine job of description in this poem, Crystal. I saw this prompt and I didn't know what I would do with it. I like the idea of it, but I'm still not quite sure exactly what it's all about, but you pull it into a really interesting storyline, and I like this one stanza. It says, brown eyes, trickle drips, stenciling the ridges, echoing footsteps of ropes, sawing broken bridges. That's a really powerful couplet right there. And, you know, we've been friends for a while now, and I can see a real change in your poetry, and it's good. It's really good. I mean, it seems like every poem I read from you is better than the last one, and this was no exception. So really well done, Crystal. I really liked it.
Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment, David. And Linda, will you comment for Crystal, please?
Sure. That was a beautiful narrative. And, you know, I've always liked your poetry because it's always so enchanting. But this was sort of on the dark foreboding side, which I liked. It was like being in the dark woods and hearing noises and seeing shadows, but I like this shadows reflecting on mirrors of chipped bark, casting crowns of jewels flickering in the dark. Very nicely worded, and your rhyme scheme is excellent. You did a really good job. Once again, I get jealous when people start rhyming well, and you've definitely done that here. But I thought it was wonderful, and you did a really great job on it. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
You're welcome.
Fantastic comment. Okay, so just so that everyone knows where we're at, there's about 20 minutes left, and we should be perfect with the timing. I'm going to play Frank's recording next. And then that leaves me with four. Linda, I was going to see if you would read for Pretty Bird. Dave, I was going to see
sure.
if you would read for Wayne. If David could read for Wayne. And then the last two are recordings by R.S. Morris and Gerald. So let's first click on Frank's piece that he brought for us. And looks like it moved down. So let me put it back. Right here, and you guys click on that, and I will push the recording that Frank made for us. And I'm just looking to see if I need a disclaimer. Okay, I don't see the last disclaimer, but there just might be some chill bump worthy noises at the end. We shall see.
Okay, so here we go, you guys.
I, who was exiled to the brimstone of a burning flame in obsidian rocks, cast my phantom shuttle of restless nights upon the piercing moonlight. A wretched prisoner of the heavy chains, a burden profoundly my pitiless soul. I dwell within the emergent darkness and the haunting echoes of the twilight. Thus, I bear the bleeding scars of my condemned torment and guilt, the intense pain of my unwanted suffering and unjust chastisement. I must live with the roaring thunder and the acherontic monochrome, where ancient wonders of demons run wildly with the winds of quietus. The cackling crows fly beneath the ominous mass of the floating clowns, and the howling wolves hunt their prey from the maze of the forest of fear. The orphans of Lucifer with their red beady eyes and slicing teeth of ore. The river of the valley is drenched, and the wet drops of dripping blood. The weeping children rise from the dormant graves of forgotten time. They cry in the dark, for you can't see the acid tears of their gloom, as they burst like a sudden force from the depth of the soil of the earth. A blustering storm with faces of the souls cast off by Mephistopheles. From amongst them stands the lone, shadowy figure that is me. But I shall not stay a forsaken prisoner any longer in this hell, for I shall fade into the gasping breath, then of the mournful night, till my wings and body burn to ash in the charcoal sofa of my insanity. No! No!
Wait, is it on you?
If you kill that bloody thing, that nothing. No, oh my God. No. The weeping children rise from the dormant graves of forgotten time. They cry in the dark so you can't see the acid tears of their gloom.
Oh, there you go. I thought that the music was just about to end, but man, the gruesomeness, they cry in the dark so you can't see the acid tears. That they cry in the dark is one of the quotes. From amongst them stands the lone shadowy figure that is me, but I shall not stay a forsaken prisoner any longer in this hell, for I shall fade into the gasping breath then on the mournful night till my wings of body burn to ashes in the charcoal sulfur of my insanity. Holy cow, what a brilliant ending there. I know we say it quite often, but he really is such a theatrical reader, and it rocks his poems and brings them to life with such depth. It's really cool. And I like the very, very beginning, I, who was exiled to the brimstone of a burning flame of obsidian rocks, cast my phantom shadow of restless nights upon the piercing moonlight. Some powerful descriptions right there. Really excellent. Wow. Thank you, Frank. Fantastic. Crystal, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely will say the ending. Like, one, I could already, like, picture everything, the weeping children,
like every single description and every stanza. Like you can picture it well. I have like just the sound effects, the images, everything in my head perfectly. And then when he goes down to just like literally choking on words, like we always do say this about Frank in this sense. Normally he's one of the better people that does SoundCloud. I don't take that much time in a mind. but yeah, I always enjoy hearing them, and he always has like when he's doing his darker pieces has that creepy kind of experience. But you know what you're in for when you click on his SoundCloud. So and I applaud him for that because I always like the more darker tone, and then he makes it kind of just that creepiness, so. And this one's no exception, so great job, Frank.
Fantastic comment. And David?
Well, I couldn't hear it hardly at all because he was talking in such a low voice. And even towards the end of it, I couldn't hear it, but I read it. And it's pretty amazing, you know. Boy, this one stanza here, I think it's the second to the last one. The weeping children rise from the dormant graves of forgotten time. Wow. They cry in the dark so you can't see the acid tears of their gloom as they burst like a sudden force from a depth of the soil of the earth, a blustery storm with faces of souls cast off by Mephistopheles. Wow, this entire poem. All of the stanzas in this poem are just powerhouse stuff, man. It's really, you know, it just really is descriptive. It's very picturesque. You can see what's going on. You don't even have to think about it. The orphans of Lucifer with their red beady eyes and slicing teeth of horror. The river of the valley is drenched in wet drops of dripping blood. It's pretty visual, I'd say. Frank is really good at this sort of stuff, and he didn't disappoint in this poem either. It's very well done. Just turn the volume up a little, Frank. I couldn't hear you. And that's the best part, listening to you read. So
great comment though, and Linda, will you comment for Frank and then read for Pretty Bird, please?
Sure. I thought it was hauntingly lovely. Frank always has a way of making things morbidly beautiful, extremely scary, and divinely awesome. And this piece screams with madness and fear. What a great job as usual, my friend. Thank you for sharing. I loved it. It was above and beyond beautiful in a dark, foreboding way. So thanks for sharing, Frank.
Fantastic
comment. Let me. Here we go. Damn those blurred edges of sharp truth. Shields weaken 'neath the weight of words. Blurring lines that were never put to paper, but it's the in-between that rattles the cage, knocking the essence from the core. Superficially fractured in fractals, breaking armor as ink turns stone. The fissures scar the intricacies of chronology, changing truth while nothing changes. Ticks through time land in yesterday's tomorrow, living in tomorrow's yesterday, but there is no present, no now, until it follows me through tomorrow's echo, draining on the ghostly silence, siren songs blare through dreams that might have been real once. Time will tell the tales, if only I could find the right day in poem.
Great read. Thank you. And You did a great read, but I would have loved to get to hear Pretty Bird read. We miss
right.
you, Pretty Bird. But it was very nice to see you on the and her title, Stand Those Blurred Edges of Sharp Truth. Brilliant title. Because, like, yeah, I second that. Damn them. Gosh, you could just pick any part. Superficially fractured in fractals, breaking armor as ink turns stone. The fissure's scar, the interstice of chronology, changing truth while nothing changes. Ticks through time, land in yesterday's tomorrow, living in tomorrow's yesterday. But there's no present, no now, until it follows me through tomorrow's echo. You know, that stands alone there, that second to the last one. Ticks through time, land in yesterday's tomorrow, living in tomorrow's yesterday. Talk about a brilliant way to say it. It's just like a loop, like on rewind, over and over. Today is tomorrow. Tomorrow is yesterday. I mean, really, really awesome. And her quote that Pretty Bird chose was, maybe it'll work itself out in time before I lose my mind. And the song is Out of Touch. I think she did a brilliant job with this. But I really miss getting to hear her read. Again, you did a brilliant read, though. Will you comment as well, Linda?
Sure. Yeah, and I have to say it was a little hard to read because of the font. But if I messed up Pretty Bird, I'm very sorry. But I thought it was just lovely, beautifully written. It had a soft edge to it, but at the same time, it was very relevant and sharp. And it painted a very nice picture, but you did a really great job on it, so thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment, and thank you again for reading. And Crystal, will you comment for Pretty Bird, please? Looks like she had to drop. Okay. David, will you comment for Pretty Bird, please?
Yeah, this poem is really interesting. It has some almost like science in injected into this. I really, really like the way she wrote this. The second stanza here, superficially fractured in fractals, breaking armor as ink turns to stone, the fissure scar, the interstices of chronology, changing truth while nothing changes. I don't know if you've ever really investigated fractals or not, but they're a never-ending mathematical process, and it just goes on and on and on, and it says superficially fractured in fractals. That's really a neat idea. Ticks through time, land in yesterday's tomorrows, living in tomorrow's yesterdays, but there's no present now, no now, until follows me through tomorrow's echo. Hard as this is to comprehend, taking me a long time to wrap my brain partway around it, we each curve space-time a little bit differently than the next person. So that means that each one of us has a very small difference in time. And it's so small that we don't notice it. You know, if I was standing in front of you talking to you, Deb, you wouldn't notice that my time signature was a little bit different than yours. But it is. And I just call those things slices in time. And she kind of explores that in this poem. And, I like it because until it follows me through tomorrow's echoes, there's a thing called entropy. And all it means is that whatever, an ordered system tends to go towards chaos. It just kind of moves that way. And it's kind of what drives the timeline forward in the universe, and time is an essential essential product of space time, because if there wasn't any time, then nothing would happen in space, nothing would have evolved, and so I don't know. I just kind of like the way she wrote this. I would have loved that her TV read this. She's so good at this, and we've talked a little bit before about the ins and outs of science and stuff, and on the phone, and she's really a sharp gal, and she's a great writer. I just thought this was wonderful. Really, really punched all my buttons.
She was definitely flexing her brain on that one.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
All right.
She's a treat.
Again, I just want to say real quick, we miss you, Pretty Bird. It would have been nice to hear from you, but it was awesome to get to hear one of your poems. Thank you again for reading it, Linda. And David, if you would read for Wayne, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, let's see. Where are you at? Here we go. Prisoner of War by Wayne Gent. On the battlefield to fight, left alone, would be a good time to have a clone. Shadows surround me, pulled my knife, cut one across the face. Hate to take life. As day grew dark, enemies started to leave. They'll be back during the night, I believe. Didn't have lights, started a fire. Got shot in the shoulder in less than an hour. Took me prisoner, treated my wounds. Looked like children playing with balloons. Prisoners enjoy their sleeps. Standing in line, singing song, wounded weeps. Pain won't subside it, no matter what's tried. You can't hide on the inside all the pain you've ever felt. When a flame hits ice, memories melt. End poem.
Thank you.
Signature Wayne here.
Yeah. His writing and his reads always have this sort of a back and forth, like took me prisoner, treated my wounds, mm-hmm. looked like children playing with balloons. The back and forth makes him someone who it's a pleasure to read for as well. And I really like that he put a little pieces of some of the songs in there, like, you know, the battlefield to fight, took the prisoners, treated my wounds, looked like children playing with balloons. I mean, it's just he did a really awesome, and then in the end, pain won't subside no matter what's tried. You can't hide on the inside of the pain you've ever felt. When flame hits ice, memories melt. I love the last line. But I also love that he squeezed the quote from the song in there, you can't hide on the inside all the pain you ever felt. So I think that between his own words and the words that he incorporated from the different lyrics that were available and stuff came out brilliant as always. And he used a lot of the word bank words, if not all of them, which is pretty impressive in its on its own. I appreciate the read too, David. You did a great job. You want to comment?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. This, as I was reading this, Wayne always seems to bring the humor out in at least in me. And when I started reading this, there were some lines in it that tickled me. You know. I don't know, took me prisoner, treated my wounds, looked like children playing with balloons. I mean, if that doesn't sound like Wayne, I don't know what does, you know. He's got this abruptness to some of his lines, the way they start and end and stuff. But that's what makes it unique. And shadows surround me, pulled my knife, cut one across the face, hate to take a life. You know, it's a neat storyline, and it's always the best when Wayne reads it, because you know he talks like an auctioneer. you know, he gets going so fast. But he enunciates it good enough that it makes it sound good, you know. And so I really like Wayne's work. He's a marvelous writer. Good job, my brother.
Totally agree. And Hatter's back. I was starting to give up hope, Hatter. Glad you're back.
I had to get Joy off. I mean, she's going somewhere. She's leaving for a couple of days.
No. Don't try to remember that line I said in the green room that you love to share all the time? Well, you just made your own faux pas. But because it's Joy, I'm going to have to move on. But in the meantime, we have two poems left, Hatter, and they're both recordings. So if you gentlemen will click on R.S. Morris and sit back, we will listen to his recording, and then we will listen to Gerald's before we go home. So here comes, and I'm going to turn it up a little just in case, here comes R.S. Morris.
Thank you.
Sometimes, at the oddest times, I can feel a presence near. Is this an aura to guide me, helping me stay alive here? Flight check's done, ready for takeoff. A voice inside screams no. Everything looks good around. See no reason not to go. Decided to listen for once. It was such a powerful no. Back to the ramp and found a bad fuel leak in the belly below. What was that voice? Where did it come from? Just luck or guardian reason? A new story I could have become. Don't believe in cracked mirrors. Never picked a four-leaf clover. Raining so hard I could barely see. A voice said, move one lane over. The instant I broke left, flashed by a stopped semi-truck, counted my lucky stars and thought, was that a voice or was it just luck? Flying among the storms, closing in all around, just when it seemed no way out, a spot of blue light I found. Was it fate that just happened? Was divine intervention planned? Was it pure luck I just witnessed, or was it a guiding hand? I now believe in such things. Follow the light, listen to the voice. Been saved from a lot of jams. Seems I made the right choice.
Awesome. Wow. It's got two gold medals already. Where do I pick? Sometimes at the oddest times, I can feel a presence near. Is this an aura to guide me, helping me stay alive here? The thought of that, it's a mixture of comfort at the thought that, yes, the presence is there, guiding and guarding. But there's also a sadness of the fact that I can feel the present near helping me stay alive. And you picture like an army person on a battlefield and maybe scared and just like feeling the presence would make such a big difference, you know. Where else? Don't believe in cracked mirrors. Never picked a four-leaf clover. Raining so hard I could barely see. A voice said, move one lane over. And that gave me the chills. Like sometimes it might even be our own voice, but it's like a lot of us tend to ignore intuition is what that made me think of. And if he hadn't paid attention to that voice and moved a lane over, what might have happened on that rainy highway. So this is a really, really deep poem. Flying among the storms,
closing in all around. Just when it seemed no way out, a spot of blue light I found. I mean, just awesome pieces that combine the fear and emotion with the hope from that presence, the hope from the warnings that you can tell that he wholeheartedly believed what was a part of what saved him, which is a beautiful thing. I really loved the spiritual faith that comes from the lines, and it's easy to see why it's a double gold winner here. Great share, RS. Thank you for sending this in. Let me get you some comments here. Hatter, let me go to you first.
Oh, yeah, that gut feeling, faith. It's happened. I could name a few incidents that is true. I love his voice. It sounds like something, and I can't quite place it yet. When I do, I'll let you know. But I love his narrative, and his recordings just enhance the pieces. And he has that tick-tock cadence in the background, which adds to it. Well done.
I think in my opinion, he's got this like a southern charm to his voice that comes out when he's reading. Just my thought. And what did you think, David?
Did you say me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Did you say David? Okay. I if I'm not mistaken, I think this gentleman's a commercial pilot. I think he is. I'm not sure. But that explains, you know, the first part of the flight check's done, ready for takeoff. A voice inside me screams, no, everything looks good. See no reason not to go. Your gut feelings and your intuition and stuff. I've had a couple, I could tell you stories about that myself. And I finally started paying attention to it. A lot of times we just kind of brush those feelings off and say, oh, I don't know why I'm thinking that, you know, and then just let it go. And then, you know, sometimes nothing comes of it and sometimes it does. And so I thought this was really, indicative of that. I like the tone of his voice. I like the background music of it. I like the way the song or the sounds like the song. Like where the poem reads, flying among the storms, closing in all around, just when it seemed no way out, spot of blue light I found. Was it fate that just happened? Was divine intervention planned? Was it pure luck I just witnessed, or was it a guiding hand? Anymore, I tend to think it's a guiding hand. I think it's maybe God's way of, you know, keeping us out of trouble. Give us a hint, you know, and say, hey, you should be in the left lane, man, you know, that sort of thing. And but this poem speaks to that really well, and I like the way it was written. Really, really cool. Really, really a neat poem.
Fantastic comment. Awesome. Okay, now I am double-checking to make sure we can still see Gerald's home on board. We can. Okay. So if you guys would go ahead and click on Gerald's poem, play for that one.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Favorite childhood book. Written and read by Gerald Green. The book was crafted as a masterpiece, designed for prepubescent eyes, a tale of magic, charm, and fame, confusing signs of truth and lies. It captured her imagination on the second page, when suddenly a threat appeared and people feared.
that made them act instinctively, as horses panicked with a hard stampede in all directions through the town. The children panicked, even cried, yet no one died, but one was down. Her name was Pumpernickel, like the bread, because her eyes were darkest brown, like chocolate syrup when it's hot on summer's Sunday's frozen crown. It took no time to mend her injury, an elbow cut and nothing more, and so she rode with the adults to capture Blackie and restore the Belgian herd into the large corral. If only she could reach him first. He had come to her without a second thought, be easily coerced. She rode bareback and said the magic word that no one heard except her horse, who leaped ahead with extra speed as if upon a smooth race course. She passed the posse headed west. Her golden hair flew like a flag that left the others far behind, as if each horse was but a hag. When Blackie let her lead him home that day, the town rejoiced at what she had done. They named the high school after her. And this was only Chapter 1. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Awesome. I'm really excited for him that he's got the YouTube site going. I know that he's doing occasional reads on a local radio station in Ohio. I think it's in Ohio. I know it's where he lives that he's doing it. I love the story here. It captured her imagination on the second page, when suddenly a threat appeared and people feared that made them act instinctively. As horses panicked with a hard stampede in all directions through the town, the children panicked, even cried, yet no one died, but one was down. And just that alone is so sad. The details here, it took no time to mend her injury, an elbow cut and nothing more. And so she rode with the adults to capture Blackie and restore. A great story. I think that the look on the child's face in the photo that's surrounded by these horses that seem to jump off the page is captured in the very beginning. The book was crafted as a masterpiece designed for prepubescent eyes, a tale of magic, charm, and fame, confusing signs of truth and lies. It captured her imagination on the second page. That right there, that those first six lines really popped to go with the story. And I mean, the art and the story was endearing. She rode bareback and said the magic word that no one heard except her horse, who leaped ahead with extra speed as upon a smooth race course. The rhyme and flow in there came out great. The story, the I don't know if nostalgia is the word I'm looking for, but maybe it was like a piece of childhood shared. It was amazing wording, and his reading, I always love listening to him read. He's got such a clear, professional reading voice. He always dazzles. This is no exception. Thank you very much, Gerald. Glad you're back. Missed you last week. And David, you go first this time.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was wonderful. When I saw this prompt, this little girl just, I was just taken with her, you know. And I it makes me feel kind of bad nowadays, because I wonder how many children her age actually read anymore. You know, I mean, they got all the stupid stuff like phones and shit, and they don't read an old fashioned book like this anymore. The storyline in it is excellent, and it's exactly what a young girl would like. I don't know what it is about young women and horses, but they go together like strawberry and ice cream, you know, or something. They're just amazing. She rode bareback and said the magic word that no one heard except her horse, who leaped ahead with extra speed, as if up on a smooth race course. That's a cute stanza right in there. And yeah, horses are funny. My mother used to have them, and I would eventually they would talk me up onto one of them. And when you're riding those things, they are very aware of what you know and what they think they can get away with. And they're very sensitive critters. And if you just think they're big, dumb, stupid, four-legged thing, they're not any of those. They're very, very intelligent and quick and sensitive. And I think this poem spoke to all of those things, you know. Really, really an interesting piece. I liked it.
Fabulous comment. And Hatter, last word for you.
Yeah, I love anybody that could tell a storyline like that. And you're right, Jill, like no other can do that. I did like the reference to the Belgian herd. I'm wondering which Belgian horse he's talking about. The muscle wogging one, strongest horse. But I enjoyed it.
Excellent comment. Okay, so if you guys take a peek at the chat wall, I just added the link for my show for next week.
What time is it?
Excuse me, hold on a minute, Heather.
Your birthday yet?
Yes.
It is?
18
minutes.
Yeah. This one, next week, is the artist stumbled across. Her name is Eugenia Lally, and she's got some really abstract, surreal, awesome art to choose from. I mean, one of them's
wow.
got a little girl. One of them's got a little girl sipping a straw, and it's a brain on some guy that could be a younger Sylvester Stallone. Anyway, this one has a word bank. And the word bank has a twist. I found a list of palindrome words. And don't panic, Hatter. I'm not asking anybody to write a palindrome. It's just that the words are palindromes. So, for example, the word stink is the word knit backwards. So everybody has to choose 8 word bank words, but they also must use the palindrome of that word. So you'll be using 16 words total from the word bank for next week. So I can't wait to see what everybody does with these palindrome ones.
Can I read one more thing?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I posted it there. It's called "That It Will Always Be This Way." It goes like this. I always dreamed of a little sister, but brothers is all I got. A little one that would always protect one I would love a lot. I trained my hand to write, to learn to write songs written in poetry. Time stood still, my family gone. I thought it was only me. Troubles and turns, what did I learn? I followed you here one day, showing me how to read out loud. My words had much to say. Years would pass, little did I know that dreams still come true. Then it came one night on the air, my little sister turned out to be you. I found a place inside my heart where echoes were heard to stay. I keep it close and guard the thought it would always be this way. That would be my little sister. I don't care. Words I thought I'd never say again. I love you, sis. Okay, that didn't rhyme. My life rarely does.
Excellent.
I know. Yeah. I love you too, Hammer, but I like how you ended that. Okay, that didn't rhyme, but life really does. But like, here we are with you. Thank you. With your how to rhyme, but filled with sentiment. And like, how could we have known all those years ago that we would wind up like I would, you always wanted a sister. Well, I have a little brother, but I always wanted a big brother because my friends always had a big brother that would stick up for them and that knew that they didn't have to worry about nothing because their big brother was there. Well, that is you, Adam. And it means the world, and so does the poem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I kind of knew you were gonna do that. So we started off with the surprise after surprise and ended up with one more. That's brilliant. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No problem.
What a night. Okay, well, since we started with the Pat Benatar song and not our favorite Heather song, that's where we'll go. But first, I want to say we missed you, Sweet, but thank you to my board members, Hatter and Sweet, and Mr. A.P. Taylor. Appreciate the three of you so much. And thank you to Kay and Steven and Allie and Linda and Sky and Crystal and Frank and Angel and Wayne and Pretty Bird and RF and Gerald and Mr. Dave Proppett for the poem and for hanging out all night. I appreciate it very much. Love and respect from the bottom of my heart. Tomorrow night at 11, Raconteur is going to come at you with his topic, and that topic is who cares? And I'm not saying I don't care. I'm saying his prompt is who cares? So whatever you were just led when you heard the words who cares, that's what Raconteur would like to hear from you. And again, that's tomorrow at 11. And I don't know what my beautiful Sweet's doing Wednesday at 11, but she'll be there with something, so stay tuned. And on that note, love and respect, gentlemen. Let's come out with one of our favorites.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Happy birthday.
Fabulous poem. Fabulous poem, Hatter. Fabulous
poem.
Thank you.
Good night.